Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Ice Skating Podcast, brought to you by the International Skating Union. It's great to be here. My name's Luke Norman and I've got fellow journalist and skating enthusiast Nick Moore with me. Hi Nick, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm really excited about the first edition of the pod. It's great to have you all with us. This is a podcast for you, skating and sports fans all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Every fortnight, we're going to be taking you around the world of figure skating, speed skating, short track and synchronized skating. We're going to be chatting to a range of the biggest stars of each sport, and we're going to be previewing and reviewing all of the major championship news and events.
And to mark our very first episode, we've got a fantastic, insightful and moving interview with one of the very best skaters on the planet, Nathan Chen.
Yeah, it's an absolutely great interview, isn't it? And all part of our sister show, the ISU's new Up Again show, which is going to be on the ISU YouTube channel every month, hosted by the brilliant broadcaster Elmer Smith.
We'll be hearing a little bit more from Elmer shortly, but before we get to that, let's have a look around the world of skating.
Let's start with figure skating then, Nick. It's clearly been a really different looking season, hasn't it? With the Grand Prix we've had featuring domestic skaters only and a few of those in the nearby region. But it's not stopped the competitors producing some superb stuff.
No, and things kicked off in late October with the 2020 Guaranteed Rate Skate America and our man Nathan Chen grabbing the headlines once again.
Yeah, absolutely. On the back of yet more thrilling quads, Nathan cruised to a fourth title ahead of compatriot Vincent Chow. And meanwhile in the pairs, Alexa Semeca-Kinnerum and Brandon Fraser showed that chemistry can come quickly. This duo had only been training together for 2 months and yet skated to a comfortable gold. Really good stuff.
Yeah, and it was especially good watching Nathan performing, knowing that we had a bit of time booked with him to speak to him and really understand what makes this fascinating athlete tick.
I know. And one of his rivals, Boyang Jin, was in fine form at the next event on the revised calendar, the Shiseido Cup of China. Two-time world bronze medalist took the honours despite the fact he'd only had 2 weeks of preparation and performing, he reckoned, just 70% of his routine.
Pretty amazing. And what about the ladies? Who's been excelling in the field so far?
Well, it was an absolute packed lineup in the ladies' event at the Rostelecom Cup in Moscow in late November. A really cracking competition. You had the quad queen and defending champion Alexandra Truasova, not to mention current European champion Aliona Kostolnaya. But in the end, it was 2015 world champion Elizaveta Tuktamysheva showed she's close to being back to her best by claiming a title with a beautiful free skate.
It was great, wasn't it? And finally, in Japan, we had one of my favourite young skaters really catching the eye.
Yes, I know you really like this guy, don't you? Japan's Yuma Kageyama, the NHK trophy in Tokyo, 17-year-old. He's the reigning world junior silver medalist. And on his first start in the seniors, he won gold by close to 50 points.
And we had another incredible story in the ice dance as well.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? We got to see 2010 world figure skating champion Daisuke Takahashi make his debut as an ice dancer. He and partner Kana Muramoto may have only finished third out of a field of three, but what will be interesting is to see how they progress in the future.
And turning to speed skating, we've had the extraordinary situation of the athletes spending 5 weeks in a hub in the Netherlands, with 28 nations and 450 athletes staying in four different hotels and taking part in four events. The most important stat to come out of the bubble was zero, because we had zero infections of COVID-19, so the bubble was a success. But what was going on in the sport, Luke?
Yeah, well, the hub opened, didn't it, with the European champs in mid-Jan, and then closed with the world champs and had two World Cups in between, so loads of action on the ice. But there's no doubt what the real highlight was. 24-year-old Swede Niels van der Poel achieved what many thought was impossible, what you and I thought was impossible in modern speed skating. He broke a world record at a sea level rink.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it? And, you know, we've got 10 individual world records. 9 of them were set at altitude, and now we've got one set at sea level. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really good to watch. And not the only Scandinavian grabbing the headlines. 20-year-old Ragni Wiklund became Norway's first female speed skating world champion in 83 years and only the second ever.
Yeah, and what about the Dutch? They must have done something.
Of course they did.
They usually do.
All four European Championship titles, wasn't it? And 10 golds, I think, at the first World Cup, 8 in the second. And then they topped the medal table at the Worlds with 7 out of the 14 on offer. Not bad stuff.
Yeah, and Patrick Roast was a real star, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's fascinating, isn't he? I mean, the 3-time world all-around champion, won the opening European all-around title, picked up 2 5,000-metre golds in the back-to-back World Cups, but then got to the World Championships and probably slightly disappointed, just a silver in the 5,000 metres and a bronze in the 1,500 metres. So, yeah, a few surprises overall, and so some surprises in short track as well.
Yeah, there have been, and we had the European Short Track Championships in Gdansk in January, and that was a fantastic event, and of course a bit strange because it was the first proper event of the season for most of the skaters.
Yeah, and I spoke to the Israeli skater Vladislav Baikonov before the event, always an interesting guy, and he was saying, look, normally it's the first World Cup that's the first race of the season, so that's when you see the outsiders making it to the podium. You might see big names struggling to get going as people just try and warm up.
Exactly, but this year there's been no World Cup, so the Europeans were that first big event, and we did end up seeing some surprises. We had the Italian Pietro Siegel, who was ranked 65th in the world overall, coming out of nowhere to win the 3,000 metres men's super final and finish second overall.
Yeah, and you had the Russian Semenev Stratov winning the overall title.
Yeah, he's a great skater, but I think many people thought that the Hungarian brothers, Shawang and Shaolin Sandor Liu, would push him closer.
Yeah, it was interesting that, wasn't it? But overall, the women's champion, no real surprise there.
Not at all. And we're seeing something really special with Suzanne Schulting of the Netherlands, the emergence of a truly great athlete. She's been totally dominant at last year's European Championships, and she did it again in Gdansk. Nobody could really touch her.
I love watching her skate. She's fantastic, isn't she? And next weekend, she'll go for a whole load more gold in the ISU World Short Track Speed Skating Championships in Dordrecht, of course.
Yeah, she'll really fancy her chances. She's the most recent world champion. She won her debut overall title in Sofia, Bulgaria back in 2019.
Yeah, and here she'll be skating at home. She's in form. She's even done a bit of long track, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And the confidence is pouring out of her. And then you factor in the Republic of Korea and China not being there, the Japanese team not travelling. Now GBR won't be there. Elise Christie, former world champions, obviously not going because of that. Kim Bhutan has pulled out as well. So it does look like it's Schulting's title to lose. But what's going on in the men's field?
I think we'll be looking at the Liu brothers again, who really fight for each other all the time, and they're skaters with real character. And Elis Stratov, of course, will be looking for a double after his European victories. And then there's Stephen Dubois of Canada, who can compete across all three distances. So it'll be competitive, but it's very hard to predict.
And there's one name, Nick, you haven't mentioned, Shinky Connect. What a great story he is. Obviously, it's his home ice. He's from the Netherlands. He had those two horrific injuries in 2018 and 2019, where he crushed his leg and then got severely burned in these off-ice freak accidents. But he's undoubtedly one of the best racers in the world, a real big game player, Olympic medalist. He's back and he looks like he's ready to race again.
Yeah, and it could be the story of the weekend if he does something on home ice. He's such a skilled racer, such a great overtaker. You can't rule him out for a medal. And it'd be an amazing story and maybe even a future up again story if he did.
Yes, definitely. We should get him on there. Fingers crossed he does something good. And don't forget, everyone, you can watch all the action taking place March 6 and 7. Just visit isu.org/where-to-watch-short-track and you'll get all the details on there. I can't wait to watch people going at it once again.
Yeah, they're going to be delighted to be racing, aren't they? And it's going to be make an already unpredictable sport even more fun to watch. And like the speed skaters and the figure skaters, they need this competition and they want to be getting that experience ahead of Beijing 2022.
Yeah, I know. We just got under a year now, haven't we?
Yeah. Let's talk about Nathan Chen and go over to the Up Again show, the ISU's new YouTube show about skaters who've overcome adversity, who've had low moments and then risen to fight another day.
So we're delighted now to welcome the brilliant broadcaster and TV personality, Elmer Smit. Elmer, welcome to the pod. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I just had the opportunity to speak to Nathan Chen. I mean, I don't even understand how this is actually my job.
It was absolutely fascinating, wasn't it? What a guy. Known as the Quad King, the 2-time men's singles figure skating world champion and Olympic medalist. And all of this is, of course, is for the first episode of the ISU's new Up Again show. Can you tell us a little bit about that, your involvement and what it was like to chat to Nathan?
So Up Again is all about serving you stories of inspiration, hope, maybe some helpful tips, a few fun games to showcase the personalities of your favorite skating superstars. But I think at this stage of the world, we can all do with a bit of inspiration. And these athletes and artists, I want to say that they're a bit of both, often just have the most fantastic journeys that we can all learn from. So besides enjoying their work on the ice, having the chance to speak to them about the experience of living through the highs and lows of professional sport is such an honor.
Now let's hear from the man himself, Nathan Chen.
Thanks for joining us, Nathan. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Can you describe what it feels like being able to do the kind of things you do on the ice? When I watch you, I stop breathing when you do those jumps because even though I know you're really good at it, it scares me. Do you feel a rush? Do you feel free? Do you feel petrified? I mean, what is the actual onboard experience of being able to skate the way you do?
Well, I think that learning a new element, you get like an immense surge of emotions, both, you know, fear, both excitement, and especially when you land it or you're really close, you know, you get those emotions to an extreme. And then, of course, when you land it, it's like, you know, just like pure, you know, pure joy. But I think as it comes to competitions, you know, things are well trained at that point. You know, you've done them many, many times. So it's not something that's like an emotionally driven response, but more like a very logistically driven response. But of course, at the same time, there still is fear. There still is excitement. You know, you're wanting to land these jumps well. But of course, you know, at the end of the program, when you've done everything well, it's truly exciting.
Going to Pyeongchang, let's talk about that, because you grew up in a city that hosted the Winter Olympics. Even when you were 10 years old doing TV interviews, people were saying to you, 2018. I mean, that date, those Olympic Games, that moment must have meant so much to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like skating is truly my life, and it's something that I've loved since I was just first stepped on the ice. And then, of course, growing up in an Olympic town, like, that just makes it, you know, that, like, epitomizes the dream of what the Olympics should look like. And I just had that vision of the Olympics and something that I'd wanted to go to. And finally making that a reality was just incredible. And being able to, you know, experience the games firsthand as an athlete was pretty incredible in itself. But it was also just a terrifying event, you know, something that I'd been looking forward to my whole life that I really wanted to perform well at. But it just put so much stress on myself and so much pressure on myself to perform that I, like, had never really experienced before, and I didn't really even know how to adapt to that situation. And I think that, you know, everyone in my team also, this was like a completely new experience for them, so they didn't really know how to handle it either. Hopefully we'll prepare us better for the next games, but no matter what the results were, it was an incredible experience to be there.
So you go out onto the ice to perform your short program. Take me to that experience. Right. Of being out there, and this moment that you've just explained was, you know, so crucial. And I think you've said before that you were just not in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I was just a little scared, truthfully speaking. And I think once you start getting scared, it's just like you can't really attack things as well as you should. That, like, obviously takes a huge hit on your confidence. And I think having confidence going to events is so vital to being able to perform well. But yeah, I think, you know, going into that short program, knowing what I had to do, knowing I was capable of doing it, but just like really unsure if I was going to be able to do it. And I think that sort of just, you know, related to me having a pretty rough skate, and just, you know, not putting myself in a position to start on the ice where I would like to be. And then the rest of the program, we're just trying to, like, you know, just stay on your feet. Just don't, you know, fall again. Don't fall again. And unfortunately, you know, that just kept happening, but it is what it is, you know, and I've learned quite a lot from it.
And you walked off the ice and said you went straight to your room to go sleep because you'd already kind of shifted gears into preparing for the free skate?
I was just very upset, and I wanted to spend time by myself and not really have to talk to people. I didn't really want to talk to media. I didn't really want to talk to, you know, friends, family, coaches. I just wanted to go by myself. And honestly, that was nice, you know, just having time to just completely be by myself, like just relaxing in my bed, not doing absolutely anything was quite nice. And it was obviously, you know, upsetting, but it is what it is. And, you know, I was able to come through in the long program, at least skate a little bit better in the long and, learn quite a lot from that short.
And then you used that experience to fire up one of the most talked about performances at that event. You went back out on the ice, which some people might find daunting. And the first quad was just spectacular. Did you feel then, okay, I'm back. Here we are. This is me. I can hold on to this again.
I think that after that, just that day of just, you know, relaxing by myself, I just felt a lot more refreshed, both physically and mentally. And so I kind of just came in with just a better mindset and more just a more relaxed approach and more just of a gratefulness to be there, to be at the Olympics, to compete on that ice. You know, truthfully speaking, it was, you know, just pure luck that I made the long, you know, actually, considering how poorly I skated in the short, like it wouldn't have been unexpected for me to not even have made that long program. So just the fact that I had that second opportunity was just so, so, so great for me. And I really just utilized that to just, you know, put myself in a position where I was like, man, just be happy that you're here. Just be happy that you have this opportunity. You know, it's a very, you know, uncommon one. So the fact that I get it, it's just like, you can't waste it. And even actually after the short program, of course, and like, this is terrible to say, but like right after the short program, it's like, I don't even want to do the long. I just want to go home. Like, this is terrible. I just want to leave. But then I was like, also, you know, come on, this is the Olympics. Like, you can't be thinking that way. And so, like, you know, having then just been like switching my mindset to being like, you know, just be grateful, be happy, be present, really just changed my approach for the long. And the rest of the program was a blur. Truly, I don't remember. All I remember was just trying to force myself to be grateful and happy in that moment. And it just like, things just clicked just by themselves.
If you could rewind and go back and change one thing before that short program, what would it be?
Truthfully speaking, at this point in time, I would not change anything. Like, I'm perfectly at peace and happy with the way things went. Like, that's just, you know, I think having had that experience helped me grow a lot as an athlete and grow a lot as a person too. But yeah, I think in hindsight, like, yeah, for sure, I could have worked with a sports psych. I could have done a lot more things in terms of like mental training to prepare myself. And anyways, you know, I think that we all athletes put a lot of emphasis into physically training their bodies, but not like really much into mentally training their bodies. And that's just like half of the game. So, you know, I definitely could have put a little bit more emphasis on that, but I just didn't know, you know, that was, I was so new into this sort of like, I was 2 years ago, I was barely making, you know, the world team. So like, this was pretty, just like such a huge step in such a short period of time that I didn't know that I needed to find these resources. You know, I didn't know what I didn't know.
After you skate beautifully in the long program, and then you go on world title, bounce back. What a story. This guy is amazing. This crazy run of events where everything you do just, I mean, and the margins that you're winning by, that is spectacular. That is, I mean, what a way to get up again. Do you sometimes now look back on that experience and, as you said, you wouldn't change anything, but also even feel a sense of, I don't want to use the word fate, but I mean, now that your story has turned up so beautifully, there is something so amazing about that, because I'm sure so many other people have said to you, that gave me hope, that gave me something to hold on to. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just truly just the experience of learning how to adapt to a situation like that has just truly, you know, changed my perspective on skating. And it's just something that I really, really enjoy, and I'm internally grateful to have opportunities to compete at events, to be able to share my passion with the world, essentially, to be able to, you know, continuously day after day do the thing that I really, really love. And it's not really, you know, work at that point. It's just something that you know, enjoy doing. And it's just like, you know, just my true passion. So it's really cool to be able to have that. And I think that having that mindset going into competitions definitely helps me a lot now. Just, you know, recognizing that, like, regardless of the results, you know, obviously I want to skate as clean and best as I possibly can, and I'm going to hold myself to that standard and keep trying to obtain that. But at the end of the day, even if that doesn't necessarily happen, like, the fact that I even got this chance to be there, to be able to experience, you know, a crowd or no crowd or whatever, experience competing against, like, the elite athletes, to be able to see them in person, you know, it's just so cool. So I think that's just the thing that I, like, kind of took away from those games, and it has definitely, you know, in itself shaped sort of how I've been performing over the past couple of years.
And tell me, how have you since managed to win that psychological battle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of, again, like, you know, reminding myself what it means to be there, what it means to be able to step on the ice every single day and you know, do the thing that I love, as well as putting myself out at incredible competitions and just being there. You know, like, as a kid, I'd always dreamed about going to Worlds. I'd always dreamed about going to the Olympics. I'd always dreamed about even going to Nationals. But sometimes when you're there, you kind of forget that. And you're like, oh man, this is, like, the next big hurdle that I have to get over. But not necessarily, you know, you're already there. So, like, you already made that hurdle. So, you know, just reminding myself that these opportunities are not always easy to come by, but the fact that I got them is just a true blessing in itself.
And would that be the advice that you'd give someone out there who's battling to get up again?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that sometimes you just need to realign your perspective. And I think that sometimes when we assume one perspective and keep trying to, like, dig away at it, but it just doesn't shape out the way that you want it to, you know, it's always helpful to sort of come at it with from a different perspective, just, like, recognize that, you know, things are not as bad as they could be, and also that, you know, even though things may or may not seem bad, they're actually, in truth, you know, not that big of a deal. I mean, obviously, okay, I can't say that, I can't generalize that to everything. There are some things that are much more weighted than others, but in the case of myself, you know, that's just, like, that's how I approached it, and I think that has definitely helped me put myself change my perspective in a way that then I can approach things better.
Have you got advice for anyone who's battling at the moment, who are just not getting up again and need a burst of inspiration?
I think from the perspective of being in that position, you know, ultimately, you know yourself better than anyone else. But at the same time, it is always extremely useful to communicate how you're feeling and what you're feeling to people that you know care about you. And no matter what, there will be people that care about you. You may need to do a little bit of soul searching or whatever that is to find those people, but there will be people for sure 100% that care about you and want to help you. And everyone's perspective and everyone's experiences are different. So there's going to be something that you've never tried or never even thought about before that will inherently just help you. So I think that's, like, you know, one, just, you know, do what feels right. You know, there's not necessarily a wrong answer or right answer with that. If you want to just lay in bed all day, that's fine. You know, as long as that's, like, something that you want to do. But at the same time, if you do that, also realize that there are other approaches and, you know, people that want to help you. So, you know, reach out and communicate that.
So let's talk about Beijing 2022. Because that's why you've now taken a bit of a leave from your academic career, which you clearly are definitely going to pick up again eventually. A skating career is short. Have you got any exclusives for us on your preparation to maybe go skate a great short program and win gold?
I mean, that's the goal. That's the dream. But whether or not that happens, you know, it's out of my control. So as of now, just, you know, prepare myself as best as possible. Looking forward to competing at Worlds, which, you know, is a good, you know, stepping stone on the way to Olympic season. Yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly excited to get another opportunity to compete. You know, the first goal is obviously, you know, make sure that the spots are there. The second goal is make sure that I qualify for that team. The whole season is basically qualifications, so every competition is, like, very meaningful on the way to assuming an Olympic spot. But yeah, I think it's also awesome that it's in Beijing, which is where my mother's from. You know, I have family still in Beijing, so there's definitely some roots based in Beijing, which will be nice to be able to hopefully see after the event. It'll be fun.
Okay, just humor me. So we're fast-forwarding. Yeah. We're in 2022 now. You're standing on the podium. Right. You've just skated amazingly. People are literally crying in the stands. There's loads of people there. And you've got the gold medal around your neck. What's going through your mind? What does this mean?
I mean, I can't. It's hard for me to predict that just this far because, you know, having had that experience of, like, wanting to make that happen in 2018 and then not making it happen is still with me. So I think that I would prefer as of now to just take things day by day and you know. But yeah, I mean, of course, that's the dream. You know, that's every athlete's dream, to be able to stand on top of the Olympic podium and go to an Olympics, like, just perform insane and then win that competition. That's the dream. And then from there, who knows? I have no idea. You might, you know, I've never experienced that before, so I have no idea how it would feel. But, you know, something to sort of motivate you, I suppose, and excite you.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Nathan Chen there, talking to Elmer Smith. What a really great interview, really fascinating stuff. And it hit me, Nick, I don't know what you think, but Nathan's revelation that he was terrified by the time he got to Pyeongchang in 2018, absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, his honesty was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Talking about being scared beforehand and getting sad afterwards. He really didn't sort of hold anything back, did he?
I know, and he wanted to go home after the short programme. And the fact he took to his bed for a day, I mean, that's the kind of thing you or I do, isn't it? He just didn't want to talk to anyone, coaches, friends, family, nothing.
And it's interesting that he says he wouldn't change anything about Pyeongchang.
Yeah, exactly, isn't it? That it seems this experience has been key, that it changed him and that maybe he needed it, you know? Now he seems to have a focus on his mental health, his mental well-being, seems to have changed his entire perspective on skating to now just have that sense of gratefulness for the opportunity to perform, which seems to be allowing him to go out and perform incredibly and go on this incredible run of results.
Yeah. Watch out, world at Beijing 2022, we say, I think.
Absolutely. So that's all we've got time for today, folks. Thank you to our guests, Nathan Chen and Elmer Smith. And most of all, a huge thank you to you guys for listening.
We want to hear from you. Please get in touch via the ISU social media channels with any comments and suggestions. And of course, we'd be really grateful if you could like and subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.
Yes, please do leave a review. That would be great. And we've got another action-packed pod coming your way in a couple of weeks. And in that one, not only will we get the lowdown on the Short Track World Championships and check in with everything that's been going on for the world's best figure skaters and speed skaters, we've got a little bit more Nathan Chen for you.
Yep, and this time we'll be discovering what makes Nathan tick off the ice, how his childhood shaped him, and we'll also discover the link for Nathan between Serena Williams and Jon Bon Jovi.
Yeah, great stuff that. Be sure to tune in. And remember, as well as finding the Ice Skating Podcast on all your normal podcast providers, you can access us via the ISU website, isu.org/podcast.
And you'll find the Up Again show on youtube.com/skatingisu.
And the action never stops with skating. We've got the ISU World Figure Skating Championship looming large, March 22 to 28 in Stockholm, Sweden. We cannot wait for that one.
Fantastic. This has been the Ice Skating Podcast. I'll see you next time.